MFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 8th of March, 2023. My name is Arthur. For the program this morning, figured we'd go double feature how I started the show years ago with the crime drama, and then a western to conclude it. Although we're not going to have the six shooter, we're going to have another friend of the show there in the second half of the program. But first off, we'll go with The Shadow, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston, and Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane in Circle of Death. This had an original air date of the 28th of November. Turn your radios up. 1937.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Blue Cold presents The Shadow, the mystery man who strikes terror in the very hearts of sharpsters, lawbreakers, and criminals. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear The Shadow's blood-curdling laugh, you can be sure that exciting entertainment will follow. And here's something else that you can be sure of. When you buy Blue Cold, you're getting the finest of Pennsylvania hard coal. The harmless blue coloring that identifies Blue Cold is your guarantee of clean, even, safe, dependable heat all winter long. So don't take chances. Insist on Blue Cold. Ask for it by name. Phone your order to your nearest Blue Cold dealer tomorrow. And be sure to hold on for John Barclay's important message at the end of this program. The plot murder announced for today has been postponed. Today, the Circle of Death.
Oh, Jack, what a delightful show. What a wonderful way to start our honeymoon.
Darling, when it comes to shows and girls, I'm a swell picker. Now watch me pick a nightclub.
Oh, taxi! Hey, taxi!
Darling, I think you're wonderful. I've never had such a marvelous time in my life.
Hop in, honey.
Things are pretty quiet around the theater district tonight, Bill.
Yeah, pretty thin crowd.
I don't blame folks for staying away. After those three bombings and 15 people being blown to pieces, I wouldn't be here myself if it wasn't the commissioner's orders.
Same here. Boy, has this town got the jitters.
Commissioner Weston's hopping around like a cat on a hot stove.
I hear the Midtown Association is going to ask for his resignation if he don't catch the nut that's scattering bombs around here like confetti on New Year's Eve.
The guy that's pulling these jobs sure must have it in for a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a real screwball, if you ask me. Look at the way he's always sending warnings to the newspapers before he blows another batch of pedestrians to Hades.
Yeah, and have you noticed? He always ends his notes by saying, "I hate crowds."
Yeah. Well, this is the time that crazy goof warned he'd set off another blast.
Maybe his watch is slow.
Things are going to pop if he pulls another job and kills any more people.
Well, maybe all the cops have him scared off.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Bill, look at that car. Blown to smithereens.
First killer strikes again. Five more dead. Get your paper here, paper. Read all about the mad maniacs later in squad.
It's horrible, Lamont, horrible.
It's senseless and insane, Margot. Crimes like this always are. Turn on the radio. It's time for a news bulletin. There's a switch on the dashboard.
All right, Lamont.
Turning the attack upon the inefficiency of the police department. Tonight at Midtown Hall, a meeting of businessmen of the entertainment world and property owners is in progress. Police Commissioner Weston has been asked to defend his department and produce results or resign.
Oh, that's enough, Margaret.
Washington, D.C.
Now listen carefully.
Yes, Lamont.
I want you to go to that protest meeting right over there at Midtown Hall. Commissioner Weston is speaking, and the crowd is pretty certain to heckle his explanation of the failure of his department to catch this fiend.
I'm sure of it.
Now, here's what I want you to do. Keep quiet and watch your chance. Then I want you to cry out that Shadow could solve this crime without half trying.
Aren't you flattering yourself?
Never mind that, Margot. I have a very definite reason for doing this. A lot depends on your getting the crowd to take up your suggestion.
I'll do my best, Lamont. But where are you going?
I won't be far away. Hand me that leather case on the floor.
Right. Here you are. Am I permitted enough womanly curiosity to ask what's in it?
Just a little wire-tapping device.
Telephone?
No. Now, Commissioner Weston will be talking over the loudspeaker system in Midtown Hall. Don't be surprised if the Shadow interrupts his speech. Now, remember, Margot, cry out at the psychological moment. Hundreds of lives depend on it.
I have explained to you every available resource of the police department has been thrown into catching this fiend. Our bomb squads have combed the city. Every known criminal with psychopathic tendencies has been rounded up and questioned. Not one fragment of a bomb has been found. No buildings have been damaged. No one person has been singled out for death. This is not an ordinary crime. We are not dealing with an ordinary criminal.
Oh, alibis! Alibis!
We've had enough.
15 people dead.
50 injured. You talk. Talk.
Business is at a standstill.
We're being ruined. The whole city's in a panic.
Get this killer or resign, Weston.
Get out. Let the mayor appoint someone to the praise of the Texas maniac before he strikes again.
Yes.
The Shadow could solve this crime without half trying.
There's an idea. The Shadow.
Yes, the Shadow, but get him.
He's cracked cases for you before, Weston.
Why don't you call him in?
He wouldn't have to do much to do a better job of it than the police have.
Get the Shadow, Weston.
What about the commissioner? You've done nothing in 2 weeks. You're
sick. Wait a minute. Hold on. What makes you think this man who calls himself the Shadow is interested in law and order?
He's helped to trap plenty of criminals, hasn't he?
Yes, he's tipped us off occasionally. But it may have been to get rid of rivals. We have no assurance he isn't a criminal himself.
What of it? A thief can catch a thief.
I don't run my department that way.
You're not running it at all.
That's a matter of opinion.
I bet you're not running it.
I was asked here to tell you what we've been doing. You seem to think my department works with the Shadow. We don't. We never have. And as for the Shadow, and you reporters can spread it all over the front pages, I challenge him to uncover one single scrap of evidence that my men have overlooked. I challenge the Shadow to find this maniac.
Wait a minute. I am the Shadow. I accept that challenge. Commissioner Weston, I am working on the case. Gentlemen of the press, it will not be necessary for you to print the commissioner's challenge, but you can print this challenge to the arch fiend behind this reign of terror. Print this, gentlemen. The Shadow will trap the mass killer if he dares walk through the central arcade during the rush hour between 5 and 6 tomorrow night. Remember, the central arcade between 5 and 6 tomorrow night. I dare him to come to walk through the central arcade.
Give me a paper.
That's 2 cents, mister.
Here's your 2 cents.
Oh, thanks. Here's the paper.
No. Not that one on top. People, crowds have seen it.
Well, so what? They're all the same.
No.
Give me that one underneath.
Okay, the customer's always right.
Hey, you masked murderer coming by the shadow. Get your extra paper.
The Central Arcade tomorrow. So he's daring me, this shadow fellow. He knows I hate crowds. Crowds and people pushing and getting in my way. Voices talking and shouting. I hate them. I hate them. And I'll show them. I'll show the shadow fellow, too. I'll fool all of them. I'll accept his challenge. I'll be there at the Central Arcade. And the shadow fellow will know I was there. The whole world will know. After I'm gone.
Your orders have been carried out, Commissioner Weston.
Good. There'd better not be any slip-ups.
200 patrolmen are stationed in the neighborhood of the Central Arcade. 50 picked men of the plainclothes and bomb squad will be in the crowd. If there is a crowd.
There'll be a mob after all the publicity. If I could get my hands on the shadow, I'd wring his neck for this. What time is it?
A little after 4, sir.
We better get down there pretty soon.
Yes, sir. Shall I take that call, sir?
No. I've been waiting for this. And if it's who I think it is... Hello. Hello. Listen to me, Shadow.
No, Commissioner Weston. You listen to me.
I'm listening. Quick, Connors, trace this call.
Yes, sir.
Don't bother, Commissioner. You can't trace this call. I've tapped a line. Just as I tapped the Midtown loudspeaker system last night.
So that's how you pulled that crazy stunt. You're a fool, Shadow. Don't you realize you've endangered the lives of thousands of people?
Nothing will happen if you do not interfere.
I don't take my orders from you, Shadow. You're not running the police department.
I'm not giving orders, but I need your help. Just do one thing for me, and you and not the Shadow will get the credit for the capture of the mass killer.
Oh, yes? Well, what do you want?
Just keep the crowd moving through the narrow arcade. Just keep them moving. Keep them moving. Everything depends on that.
What are you trying to do, Shadow?
To find a needle in a haystack. A man in a million.
You haven't a chance. The maniac won't come.
You overlook the fact that a dare is a powerful psychological magnet that no egotistical crazed mind can resist. Just keep that crowd moving, Commissioner. Keep them moving.
When you start figuring ways and means to save money for Christmas gifts, fuel is probably the last thing that comes to mind. Naturally, you don't want to jeopardize the health and comfort of your family. But did you know that you can actually have better heat for less money simply by burning blue coal? Here's why. Blue coal is a rich Pennsylvania anthracite, the fuel that furnaces, space heaters, and cooking ranges in this part of the country were especially designed to burn. And while other fuel prices are advancing, the cost of anthracite is not. No wonder thousands of homeowners are switching back to anthracite. No wonder anthracite is the fuel that is used for cooking purposes on the nation's cracked passenger trains. They've tested all kinds of fuel and found that anthracite is far more economical because it burns long, steadily, evenly, with minimum drafts and less attention. Now, the cream of all Pennsylvania anthracite is blue coal. It comes from the mines of the famous Glen Alden Coal Company. It's tested and retested for purity and uniform sizing. Blue coal is prepared especially for home use, and it comes in all domestic sizes, egg, stove, chestnut, and pea. So if you want clean, even, dependable heat at lowest cost, always order blue coal. Phone your nearest blue coal dealer tomorrow. You'll find his name listed in the Where to Buy It section of your classified telephone directory under the name Blue Coal.
Keep moving. Well, the time's almost up, Commissioner Weston.
Yes. 2 minutes to six. No, this is the longest hour I've ever spent in my life.
Can you beat it the way people have flocked here on the chance of seeing somebody else blown to bits by this maniac? It
looks like the Shadow was right. The way they've been swarming through this arcade.
Yeah, and watching each other like a bunch of wild animals. You see what happened to that poor guy with the Christmas box? I nearly killed him before we got him out. All he had was a doll for his kid.
I saw it.
Well, the time's up, Commissioner.
Yes. Thank heavens.
Any orders, sir?
Just keep the men on duty till this crowd thins out. They'll be going home now.
Commissioner! Commissioner Weston, look.
What is it?
The maniac. He's been here. Look at this piece of paper.
Where'd you get it?
In the arcade. He must have dropped it.
Well, what's it say, Commissioner?
Tell that shadow fellow I'll kill me a lot more people at 11 o'clock tonight.
Lamont, oh, I was afraid something had happened to
you. Something has. I found the maniac.
Thank heavens. Have you notified the police?
Margot, this man is a fiend. If I notified the police and they bungle things, he might kill hundreds of people. This is a job that the Shadow must handle alone.
But Lamont, he's dangerous. You might fail. He might kill you.
The Shadow won't fail, Margot. But if he should, it's far better that one die than hundreds.
Oh, Lamont, please. There must be a safer way.
Perhaps, Margot, but this is the only sure way to end the career of this mass killer. Goodbye, my dear.
Lamont. Oh, Lamont.
Lively, Connors. Here comes the headquarters car.
Yeah, it's Commissioner Weston's car. He's plenty worried about this maniac threatening to kill another batch of people at 11 tonight.
Well, he'll sure have to go out of the theater area to kill him. They won't let anybody in the district here without a police permit.
Wait a minute. Here comes a guy. Hey, you! You!
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Where do you think you're going?
Me? I'm going to work. That's where I'm going.
Got a permit?
Got a badge. See? Says I'm a night watchman. I gotta go to work.
What do you watch? Where do you work?
I watch things in the ground. Down there.
Down where?
Down under the street. Down under the planks.
Oh, I get it, Bill. He's a night watchman down on the new subway they're building.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, that's it. I go down them steps. Every night I go down them steps and watch.
Well, why did you say so? Get on with you. Get to your watching.
Thank you. Joe Tonetti is waiting for me so he can go home. Every night at 10:30, I take from him the job of watching.
Now, that's a job I wouldn't want any part of.
Me neither. I'll pound my feet on the street.
Oh, Joey. Joey Tonetti. Joe, you can go home now. I'm here to watch.
Hey, what's the matter? You're half a big spigback belly. You're 5 minutes late. I want to go home. Here's the keys to everything now. You watch out. Or don't you go to sleep.
The police don't want to let me come to work. But I show them the badge. You can go home now, Joey. I'll watch everything.
Okay. See you in the morning. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, those people. So many people always pushing. Pushing me. But I'll show them. I'll fix them good. I'll kill them. That shadow fella, I'll show him too. Now I'm alone. All alone.
Not quite, Anton Spivak. You are not quite alone. I am with you.
Huh?
Do you hear my voice, Anton?
Sure. I always hear voices in the dark, on the street, and here under the street where I watch every night.
Yes, Anton. But you've never heard my voice before, have you?
Well, maybe. I don't think so. What's different about your voice?
It's the voice of the Shadow.
Oh, you're a pretty smart voice. How'd you find me? Where's that shadow fella the newspapers talk about?
I am more than just a voice, Anton Spivak. I am the Shadow.
You're the Shadow?
Yes.
Where are you hiding?
I am hiding under the cloak of invisibility. You cannot see me because I have clouded your mind. So you cannot see
that which is here.
How did you get down here in this subway excavation?
I followed you down the steps.
How'd you know where to find me?
I picked you out of the crowd in the central arcade.
How did you know I was the one?
Your eyes showed me. I knew then how much you hate crowds.
My eyes show you?
Yes. You passed close to me as I stood in the shadows.
Yeah?
The arcade is narrow. You didn't see me.
Huh.
No one saw me. But I saw you.
How'd you find out my name?
I followed you to the place where you live. I found out you work here. In the tunnels.
Then you followed me here from my home tonight?
Yes, Anton Spivak. All the way.
Good, good. You're a very clever shadow. But you must go now and let me do my work. My work. I ain't got much time. Now go quick before I get mad. You know, you're plenty smart. I'm glad to know you, Mr. Shadow, but now you have to go.
Yes, I'm smart. But you're smarter.
You bet.
Let me stay. I want to learn. You can teach me things. Then maybe we can work together.
You hate people too?
Yes. I hate crowds. Let me watch you and learn.
All right. I'll let you watch.
What are you going to do?
You just watch.
What's in this shed?
You see? Dynamite. Sticks and sticks of dynamite.
Is this what you use to kill people with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My precious dynamite. They kill the crowds I hate, see? Now, look here. Here's a stick of dynamite already fused. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and six sticks of dynamite to go with it. Now, you watch. See, Shadow, I tie them in a bundle.
But how do you take that dynamite to the place where you killed all those people? It's a block away. How do you carry it?
That's where I'm smarter than you, Mr. Shadow.
Show me.
I'll show you. Now, look, see, it's almost 11 o'clock. Now, here. You see this little hook? I hook the dynamite to it.
Then what, Anton?
Wait, you hear that car overhead on the boards?
Yes.
Well, if the light is red, it will stop right over our heads. Now listen. There, you see? The light is red. Now I take this crowbar. I go up this ladder. Come on, you come with me.
Yes, I am still here. Although you cannot see me.
Now you watch. I pry the end of this plank back, see? And I hook the dynamite on the brake rods. I strike a match. And I light the fuse. And when the light changes, the car takes the dynamite with it. And when the dynamite explodes a block away, I'm still here. While the... Oh, no. You put out the fuse. You've tricked me.
And here is the dynamite.
Oh, you took it off the car. It's gone without the dynamite. And I promised I'd kill a lot of people tonight. Now I have to wait. Tomorrow the crowds will be still pushing me. Scaring me. You tricked me. That's what you did. You tricked me. Where are you, Shadow? Shadow. Come here, Shadow. Nice, Shadow. Nice, Shadow.
I'm here, Anton Spivak.
Yes, I hear you. Nice, Shadow. Come close to me.
Put down that dynamite, Anton.
No, Shadow. I light another match.
If you touch that match to the fuse, you'll die too.
But I'll kill you, and I don't care. You wouldn't let me kill people, and I don't want to live. I want to die. I want you to die too, Shadow.
Wait, Anton.
No, you blow out my match.
Yes, I have a plan. Those thousands of people waiting up the street.
Yes?
You can kill all those people. Wouldn't that be better than just killing The two of us.
How? Tell me how.
Take your dynamite and come with me. Up the steps. Up to the street.
Oh, no. No, there's policemen out there. I saw them.
But they won't see you any more than you can see me.
No. They will see me.
Hypnotize them. Huh? Hypnotize them. Look straight at them. Stare at them. And then they won't be able to see you.
No, I'm afraid.
Think of all those people waiting to be killed. Come. Just a few more steps. I am with you. You'll be safe.
I'll try. All those people waiting to be killed. I'll try it. But don't you leave me, Shadow, or I'll light the fuse.
I'm here, Anton Spivak. Look, there are the two policemen.
Uh-huh.
Just stare at them hard as you pass, and they won't see you.
All right, I'll try.
Well, it's past 7, Connors.
Looks like a false alarm this time. Hey, wait a minute. Here's that night watchman.
Hey, what's the matter with him? What's he staring at?
Look what he's carrying.
You can't see me.
Dynamite, grab him.
No. Take it away from him. Let me go. Hold it. No, I said no.
I got him. It's a mask killer.
No. Oh, he lied. He fooled me. He said you couldn't see me. No. Give me my dynamite. I want to kill all those people.
Hold him.
No.
Here's Commissioner Weston.
Go.
I got him. We got him. We got the maniac, Chief.
Good work. Here, let me look at him.
No. He tricked me. He said you couldn't see me.
Where'd he come from?
I follow a subway excavation, Commissioner. He's a night watchman.
No. He tricked me. The shadow tricked me.
Oh. It was the shadow.
Yes, Commissioner Weston. The shadow. I found the killer, but the glory is all yours.
Before we tell you of the Shadow's next exciting adventure, here's John Barclay, Blue Coal's famous heating expert, with an important message I promised you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Barclay.
Friends, there are just 2 more days left in November. That means that homeowners have only 2 more days in which to phone their Blue Coal dealers and get the full details on how they may have a Blue Coal heat regulator installed in their homes for a free trial period of 2 weeks. To me, this is the most unusual offer ever made. The free use of a Blue Coal heat regulator for 2 whole weeks without any obligation on your part to buy. Believe me, friends, until you've used one of these marvelous thermostats, you don't know what real comfort is. Imagine having your home warm and cozy from morning till night without once having to make a trip down to the furnace. And that's not all. You'll find you burn far less coal with this regulator, too. But don't take my word for it. See for yourself. Phone your Blue Coal dealer tomorrow. I thank you.
Friends, for your own sake, do as Mr. Barclay suggests. Phone your Blue Coal dealer tomorrow and get full details of this amazing free trial offer. Prove to yourself what thousands of satisfied owners already know, that with a Blue Coal heat regulator, you get more uniform heat, more economical heat than the most expensive oil burner can give you. But don't wait. Phone your Blue Coal dealer tomorrow. The story you have just heard is copyrighted by the Shadow Magazine. The characters in this story are entirely fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
The Shadow's
Lady. Go, Grandpa!
Grandpa!
Thank you, lads. Yes, that was some interesting dynamite night watchman story there by The Shadow. It was titled Circle of Death, featuring Orson Welles, was Lamont Cranston in The Shadow, and Agnes Moorehead as Miss Margot Lame. She didn't feature very prominent in that episode, though. It had the original air date, the 28th of November, 1937. It was aired on the Mutual Radio Network. The Shadow was created 6 years earlier in comic fashion before being written on for the radio. I'm going to have to fulfill an FCC obligation here for a second. So, be right back.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Thank you, Ad Council. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here at 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. It's kind of a little morose PSA there, too, wasn't it? For the second half of the program, friend of the show, John Daner, Frontier Gentleman. This one's titled Wonder Boy, with an original air date of the 17th of July, 1958. What would that be, 21 years after The Shadow? I might be cutting things off a little early, because there's presumably another show after me, because the spring schedule's out. We'll see. Thanks for listening.
There are many claims to the title of fastest gun in the West. I think that in Deadwood, Dakota Territory, I may have met him.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just a moment, we will bring you the latest report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Why stand on the sidelines when CBS News features like The World Tonight take you directly to where the big news stories are breaking? Tonight, tomorrow, and every night, hear eyewitness reports from CBS News overseas correspondents and lively features and interviews with the very people making the news, as most of these same CBS radio stations present The World Tonight. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
My remittance, as well as a small check from the London Times, were forwarded to me from Cheyenne. Both reached me at the Mark Hotel in Deadwood, Dakota Territory. I cashed them at the Stebbins and Post Company Bank And once more solvent, decided to do something about my clothes, which, to say the least, had seen better days. I was directed to a tailor shop, which I found housed in a dilapidated frame building, almost at the end of the main street. A freshly painted sign read, Eli Jackson, Tailor, Outfitters. I went in and was met by a tall, thin youth of 16, 17. He greeted me with a shy grin, bowed stiffly, and said,
Afternoon, sir. Can I be of service?
And I thought I'd like to buy a new suit.
Yes, sir. We got a mighty fine selection. Was you figuring on a Sunday go to meeting suit or maybe just a cow rigging?
Well, I'd like to see what you've got.
Well, you step right this way, mister.
Are you Eli Jackson, the tailor?
No, sir. I'm his son, Dick. He'll pause up the street for a few minutes, but he'll be right back. I guess maybe you want to wait for him?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was thinking of having his suit made.
Oh, sure. Well, Pa'll fix you up just fine. He's the best tailor in these parts. You want to take a seat? Wait. It'll only be a couple of minutes for sure.
All right.
You live here in Deadwood, mister?
I've been here about a week.
Well, now ain't that something? Me and my Ma and Pa, we got in a week back, too. I guess you can see there's some fixing up to do here. Wasn't much of a place when we moved in, but as soon as we get her straightened around, she'll be the finest store in Dakota. We live in the back.
Where do you come from?
Oklahoma Territory. Pa heard about the gold strikes in the Black Hills. And he says, with all them folks coming into Deadwood, there's a regular gold mine in Taylor. And business weren't much back home, so we cut our suspenders and come up here. Sure is a wild, woolly town, ain't it?
A fair description.
You mind my asking, mister, what kind of shooting iron is that?
Colt 44.
How you like it?
Well, it's a good gun, serviceable.
I never used one of them. I'd sure admire to shoot one, though.
Well,
I got me two old Remington 46s Uncle Amos left of me. But sure is a mess of trouble finding cartridges for them. Used to be cap and ball, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, and then they fixed them up to shoot rimfire. Say, I still got a few rounds left. Would you like to take a couple of shots?
Oh, well, I'm not very...
I got a target set up in the back, then maybe... Oh, maybe you could give me a turn with yours?
All right.
Ma and Pa, they don't take to my practicing like I do, but I tell them man's got to keep his hand in, ain't that so?
And I suppose it rather depends what you're practicing for.
Well, I ain't practicing to be no short trigger man, mister. Mr.
Kendall.
Mr. Kendall? But like Uncle Amos used to say, if there's going to be a corpse and cartridge occasion, it's best you learn to roll your gun first.
Either that or stay out of the way of corpse and cartridge occasions.
That ain't always so easy. Uncle Amos, he got himself dry gulched back in Oklahoma. He sure was a peaceable man, too. All right, keep him hanging in here. Ma won't let me keep no guns in my room. You know how women are.
Yes, I know. Those are pretty hefty guns.
Yeah, but they got real smart balance. Action smoothed down just fine, too. Now, target's over there. You want to try her out?
Oh, yes, I'd like to.
I do my practice from here. I paced it off about 25 feet.
Well, from the looks of it, you're quite a shot.
Well, I can do better, Mr. Kendall. Right now, I'm working on my draw. It's still a mite slow.
Did you put those shots in the bullseye from a draw?
Oh, sure.
From the hip, or did you take time to aim?
Oh, from the hip, but I figure I'm still taking too much time.
Oh, no. They say accuracy is more important than speed. Those are rather old models you're using, you know.
Well, I'd sure like to see you try that 44, Yorn. Maybe I could learn something.
No, not much from me, I'm afraid. I'll have a go. Here, hold your guns.
Yes, sir.
Now. All right. You say the word, I'll draw.
Ready? Now.
Not bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's mighty fine shooting, Mr. Kendall.
Thank you. Let me see you try.
Oh, no, I guess not.
Come on.
No, I reckon not.
Go on. Put on the belt. I'm curious to see how you handle those relics.
Yes, sir.
I should think they'd be a little heavy for you.
Yeah, they were at first, but I kind of got used to them. Of course, I can't shoot both to once.
I've never yet seen a man who could with any accuracy.
Say, maybe we'd better get back inside. I guess Pa ought to be back by now.
In a minute. I want to see how you hit those bullseyes.
Yes, sir.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now you draw when I say the word. Draw. May I see your gun?
Yes, sir.
How many bullets did you have in there?
Five.
Is the other gun loaded? Do you mind doing that again?
I guess so.
Good Lord.
Heard our road show starring Tennessee Ernie? You ought to. It reflects Ernie's warm personality right down the line. Young Molly B and Doris Drew alternate as the featured feminine vocalists on the show. Join us on most of these same stations tomorrow for CBS Radio's easygoing road show starring Tennessee Ernie. It's as refreshing as a visit back home.
It was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen. Twice, in a little more than 1 second, this boy had drawn, fanned the hammers of his ancient guns, and put five bullets in a 6-inch circle from a distance of 25 feet. Now he stood, eyes downcast, obviously uncomfortable.
I guess we better see if Pa's back.
Dick, why didn't you want to show me how you shoot?
Oh, I figured maybe you'd be mad and not buy a suit of clothes from Pa. We sure need the business.
I feel like a bit of a fool. I'm certainly not mad. Awed might be the word. Who taught you to draw like that?
Uncle Amos.
He must have been quite handy with the gun himself.
Oh, he was good. But he said I was better. He'd have his bristles up right now if he'd seen me showing off to you. Uncle Amos always said, never show a man your draw unless you mean it, because someday you might have to throw down with him.
Now, you listen to me, young friend. You'll never have to worry about that with me. I have no wish to commit suicide.
Dick? Where are you? Dick!
Out back, Ma.
Come inside, quick. Your paw's been hurt.
Huh? What's the matter? Pa?
It's all right,
Pa.
It's all right.
Help me get him laid down on the sofa, son.
Yeah, let me help.
Who are you?
He's Mr. Kendall, Pa. Came in for to buy some clothes.
Easy now. Put your weight on me.
What happened? What happened, Ma?
Hush up, Dick. Doctor should be along directly, Eli. Now you rest comfortable. Is it still bleeding?
Yeah, I guess so.
Ma? He's been shot.
Ms. Jackson, get some clean rags. Tear up a shirt. We've got to stop the bleeding.
Yes.
Pa?
Not,
Pa?
Don't you get to fretting, boy. This looks worse than it is, huh? I ain't gonna die.
Dick, help me get his jacket off.
Yes, sir. Pa? Pa? He's dead, mister.
He's fainted. Get some water on to boil. The doctor will need it when he takes out the bullet.
You sure he ain't dead?
I tell you, he's fainted. Now do as you're told.
I had some sheeting put away for bandages.
That's... Oh. It's all right. He'll come around.
He's so white.
Loss of blood. Have you got any whiskey?
No. Eli's not a drinking man.
You said the doctor's on his way.
Yes. Somebody went to call him.
There. Hold those against his shoulder. It ought to stop the bleeding.
Oh, yes.
Now, don't try to move, Mr. Jackson.
Lie back, dear.
I feel some better. I guess I went on for a couple of minutes. I'm truly thankful for your help, mister.
It's all right.
Afraid you're going to have to wait a bit for your suit, though, less than you're willing to wear ready-made.
Oh, don't worry about that. Just lie quietly.
That fella, he had no cause.
Paul. I know, dear.
It'll be again the law. Man's got no right.
How did it happen, Mrs. Jackson?
Well, we'd gone to the warehouse to get some bolts of cloth. A couple of drunks come out of Gerber's saloon, start shooting and deviling around. They seen Eli and me coming down the street.
I seen one fella a couple of days back. He come in here to buy a pair of boots. Crowley's his name. I didn't have nothing cheap enough, and he didn't have the money. Didn't look like the kind I'd give credit, so he went off without his boots.
They was drunk, Eli. He didn't do it purposeful. The bullet must have hit a rock or something and bounced up.
Maybe.
Who was the other fella, Pa?
Boy, what are you doing with that gun belt on? You know your ma and me's told you never to bring it in the house.
Well, I was out back showing Mr. Kennedy.
You never mind what you was doing and showing. You go hang up them guns this minute, you hear?
Do as your pa says.
Now, you seen what guns can do to your Uncle Amos. Now, me.
Don't excite yourself, Eli.
I ain't exciting myself. I ain't gonna have that boy turn into killer.
I ain't, Pa. No
now,
such
don't you
thing.
Talk back to me, boy. I'll strip the hide off on you.
Come back, Eli. Dick, do as your pa tells you. Go on.
I know, baby.
Did you put the water on the boil?
Yeah.
Good. Now, why don't you go and see if the doctor's coming?
Yeah, all right.
Now, you take off them guns and belt.
But I...
Boy, when I get up, I'm going to thrash your backside, I am for sure. You're just getting too big for your britches.
Please, son, can't you see what you're doing to your pa? Do like he says.
I'm sorry, but I saw what happened to Uncle Amos. Well, ain't no one going to shoot my pa and get away with it.
Boy, you come back here.
Dick! Dick!
Don't worry, I'll get him.
You tell him it was an accident. Wasn't no real shooting.
Dick!
It was an accident.
Dick! Dick! Wait, I want to talk to you. Now, slow down, young fella.
Don't hold on to me, Mr. Kendall. I got a thing to do.
Now, use your head. You can't fight two grown men.
If I got to, I can. Ain't nobody around here thinks I'm big enough to use a gun.
You're big enough. Shooting at a target is a little different facing a man.
I ain't afeard.
I didn't say you were. But you go looking for trouble with a couple of drunks, you're going to get hurt.
Mister, I'm 17. I was there last year when my Uncle Amos died. The blood running out of him. They shot him in the back because he was like my pa. He'd put up his guns and wasn't going to fight no more. Uncle Amos, he said to me, just before he turned on his side, he said, boy, whenever you see a coward with a gun, you get scared. You get scared enough to go for yours before he gets his out. Pa's always preaching about living peaceable. All right, well, if they won't let you live that way, you got to make them let you.
Your father said it was an accident. Did you hear him?
Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I heard what he said about that fella Crowley coming to the store for boots and Pa not giving him credit. It's true. I was in the store. That Crowley had it in for Pa. Well, we're going to live in this town. Folks is going to have respect for the Jacksons. Pa don't care none. I do.
Supposing you do find them, what are you going to do? Just start shooting?
I'll give him a chance to draw.
Dick, will you listen to me?
I ain't listening to nobody, Mr. Kendall. My Pa's been hurt bad. I aim to pay the man out that done it. So don't you go trying to stop me.
Who says you can't be in and out at the same time? Every Monday through Friday on CBS Radio's House Party, Art Linkletter invites you out right in your own home, office, or car. House Party is just what the name implies. It's loaded with fun and surprises. It's one place you can be sure you'll meet new and exciting people. Remember, CBS Radio's House Party is a standing invitation to a good time. It's yours for the listening 5 times a week on most of these same stations.
I walked up the Deadwood Street with young Dick Jackson, the two old 46s slapping heavily on his thin young legs. I knew that I could have physically stopped him, carried him back to his parents, but I also knew that it would have solved nothing, perhaps only made matters worse. So I did the only thing I could do. I went with him. First to Gerber's saloon, then to half a dozen others, looking for the man named Crowley, his companion. An hour later, we found him in the Deadwood Saloon.
That's Crowley. That's the one. Over to the bar.
You know what you're doing.
I know.
You know what it's like to shoot a man, to kill him.
I guess I'm going to find out, Mr. Kendall.
You said you weren't practicing to be a short trigger man. That was a lie.
No.
Shooting at a target hasn't been enough. You've just been waiting for an excuse.
That ain't so. Get out of my way.
Dick.
Boy, now you ain't never seen nothing like it. He shows up in this here dance. Public as a zebra, wearing a fried shirt, a hard-boiled hat, and a smelling of bear grease and lavender-flavored soap. I tell you, he looked as miserable as a razorback hog that's dropping himself on a fence post. Hey, well, looky here. Hey, boys. Come over here, have a look-see. Hey, what you carrying there, son?
Buffalo guns.
Hey, boy, don't you know packing them great big old heavy things would like to make you a bow-legged before your time?
Crowley, you just shot up my paw, Auerbach. I aim to kill you for it.
Kill me! You kin of that there mealy-mouthed tailor down the street? Boy, I might have known. Mealy-mouthed little son.
Mr. Crowley, I'm going to put my gun back now. Next time I unshuck it, you better draw your own self, because I ain't going to be doing no fancy trick shooting a glass out of your hand. I'm going to kill you.
Boy, you sure are fast, that's for sure. Yeah, but you just a kid. Now, I ain't got no quarrel with no kid.
You gunned my pa.
Oh, no, that there was an accident. Me and Loba here, we was just having some fun, and your pa, well, he come waltzing up with the missus, and he kind of got in the way of a bullet is all. It wasn't nobody's fault.
You gonna draw?
Loby, you tell the kid, ain't it the truth?
Sure it is. Didn't mean no harm.
Mister, you with the kid here?
Yes.
Well, you get him out of here, huh?
No, I don't think so. I want to see his face when he kills you.
You loco.
I'm a newspaper man. It's my job to write about such things. The birth of a killer. He can draw and empty his gun before you can even get yours out, Crowley. He knows it, too. That's why he's going to be a very important killer. He might even be as famous as Billy the Kid. Go for your gun, Crowley. He's waiting. He wants the excuse to see you die. If you don't, he'll kill you anyway.
No, that ain't so. It ain't so.
Now, look, mister. Kid. I'm sorry about your pa, huh? I'm sorry for what I said. Ain't no sense in getting riled. I got a few dollars. Help pay for the doctor and all.
He doesn't want that. He wants to be able to go home and tell his father and his mother what he's done. Show them what a big man he is. He can shoot a gun. Kill. That'll make him very grown up.
No, that ain't why. I told you it ain't. Now, here, kid. Now, you take this. It's 40 bucks. You give that to your old man. It'll pay for the doctors and such. I got me a little strike a couple days back, you see. You tell him I'll be in and buy the best suit of clothes and custom maids he's got in the store. You tell him that now, will you?
We don't want your money. You stay away from us, you hear? If you don't, I'll be back.
Oh, sure, boy, anything you say.
Give me the money, Crowley. I'll see his father gets it.
Yeah, you do that!
Dick, look out!
Crowley had pushed me off balance and had gone for his gun. The boy was at the door 20 feet away, his back turned. Crowley fired, and in that same instant, Dick whirled and shot back. He shattered a bottle on the bar. Both had missed. I was only 6 feet away. My two bullets took away half of Crowley's face. I took the boy back to his father's place. The doctor had removed the piece of lead in Eli Jackson's shoulder, and he was resting more comfortably.
Well, I'm glad you found him, Mr. Kendall, before there was any trouble.
There was trouble, Mr. Jackson, but it wasn't his fault.
He didn't do any shooting.
No, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't hurt anybody.
Dad, I want you to take Uncle Amos' guns. Sell them. I don't want them. No guns. Ever.
Shucks, boy. I couldn't get two bits on them old things. You figure you've had enough play out of them. You just hang them up. Show them to your grandchildren someday.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Mr. Kendall, will you be in Deadwood for a while?
Yes, for a while.
Well, now, that's just fine. I tell you, you come on back in a couple of days, I'll be up and around, and I'd sure like to make you a fine suit of clothes.
Thank you. I will.
Dick, you show Mr. Kendall out?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Kendall? I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I might have been killed.
You might?
You was right about shooting a man being different from a target. I could shoot the glass out of his hand because I knew that didn't mean nothing. But I couldn't kill him.
Killing's ugly. You saw what Crowley looked like.
I saw.
You should have remembered what your uncle told you. Never show a man your draw unless you mean it. Someday you might have to throw down with him.
I'm sorry I didn't remember it. But I won't need to again. I promise you, Mr. Kendall.
I'll take your word for it, Dick.
Frontier Gentleman was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Eddie Firestone, Stacey Harris, Jack Crucian, and Ben Wright. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentleman. Bud Sewell speaking.
So we heard Frontier Gentleman, starring John Daner, with an original air date of the 17th of July, 1958. The title of the episode was Wonder Boy. I like that CBS commercial, as refreshing as a visit home. Frontier Gentleman was a sustained show. It had no sponsor. CBS produced it. And my name is Arthur, and you've been listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for listening.
Unraveled like a